And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present the Eternal Light program, which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Little More Than the Angels, was written by Joseph Mendel.
Man enters the world with closed hands. The world is mine. He leaves it with open hands, as if to say, Behold, I take nothing with me. At his entering and his leaving, he knows the truth. But in the years between, what is truth? And what is the meaning of his life? The word is the meaning, and the search to find it. And no time is too distant, and no man seeking is alien. Once long ago, more than 100 years ago, there was a man who searched for the meaning. And if at first he did not know what he was looking for, maybe it was because he was not a learned man, but, like his friends, a woodchopper. This is the story of his search, the story of the woodchoppers of Berdichev.
Come on, Daniel. We can't wait for Reuben any longer.
Just a few minutes more, Caleb. He doesn't like to walk alone to the forest.
And he should be prompt. You see, Gabriel, my horse is catching a chill.
Not with your coat across his back.
Laugh, laugh. If you had a horse, you'd worry about him, too. Come on, it'll soon be light.
To be a woodchopper in Berdichev, or anywhere else, was not an easy life. Woodchoppers rose before it was light to reach the forest at daybreak. They dressed in the dark, ate their bread, and walked to the end of the last street. Here they waited for each other, since it was not pleasant to walk alone on the dark road to the forest.
I'm going, Daniel. Wait for Reuben, if you like.
I'm here, Caleb.
Well, it's about time, Reuben. Come, Gabriel. Are you ready? Then get up.
You're more tender with your horse than you are with me.
Can you carry 500 pounds of wood on your back?
I'm not a horse.
Then don't put on airs.
What's the matter with you today, Reuben?
The matter, Daniel? It's going to rain, that's what. It'll be a wet day in the forest.
The sky is clear, Reuben.
The sky has nothing to do with it. I know in my bones.
You said that yesterday, too.
Well, my bones ache every day, but especially on rainy days.
Give me your axe, Reuben. I'll carry it for you.
No, I'll carry it myself. I'm not an old invalid.
You talk like one.
Daniel, the trouble with you is that you're young.
That's a trouble that will be cured in time.
The stars faded as they walked to the forest. In this hour, no longer night, not yet day, they worked the stiffness out of their muscles and talked the bitterness out of their hearts. Later, when the sun rose, there was no time for talk, for each swing of the axe was a mouthful of bread, and there were few enough.
Daniel.
Work now, Reuben. We'll talk later.
Well, you work, I'll talk.
What's the matter?
Well, don't stop. I don't want to take you from your work.
No, I can use a rest. Are you sick, Reuben?
Well, I have been thinking, Daniel. I have been a wood chopper for 30 years.
That's not a sickness.
My joints are stiff. The axe is heavy in my hand.
You're tired, Reuben. Sit down. Rest for a while.
But when I can no longer lift the axe, Daniel, what then? Tell me, what then?
Reuben, you... I'll help you gather the wood you've cut.
No. I'll do it myself.
I only wanted to help.
I'm sorry, Daniel. I'll take my wood to the market now.
You couldn't even buy half a loaf of bread with it.
So I'll try not to be hungry.
You're bitter, Reuben.
No, Daniel, no. I'm frightened.
Daniel lifted his axe, and as it bit into the wood, he knew Reuben's fear. All day long, as he felled the saplings and trimmed the branches and gathered them and carried them to the city, it never left him, not even when he sat in his own house and his wife spoke to him.
Come, Daniel. The soup is on the table.
Deborah, look at my hands. Hard. Calloused.
That's not unusual for a wood chopper.
Since I was old enough to lift an axe, how many trees I've cut down. A forest of trees.
Then you must be hungry. Come and eat.
And there are other forests waiting.
You'll cut them down, too.
And what then, Deborah? That's what Reuben asked. Deborah, a man shouldn't have to be afraid of growing old.
Daniel, you're not talking about Reuben now, are you?
It's not enough for a man to work all his life only to get the strength to go to work.
It doesn't have to be that way.
What then, he asked me. How can I answer him? It's not my fault.
He wasn't blaming you.
It's not my responsibility, is it? Is it?
How can I answer you, Daniel?
He has to work it out for himself, don't you see? Even if he can't lift an axe, he can still trim the branches and gather the wood. He can...
What is it, Daniel?
I've thought of something, Deborah. Keep the soup hot for me. Come on, Abner.
But I just took off my boots.
Then put them on again.
I'm too tired, Daniel. I'll stay home.
No, Reuben. I have a plan to cure tiredness. Come along.
Where?
To Caleb's house. You have visitors, Caleb.
What do you want, Daniel? It's late.
Never mind. Tomorrow you can sleep till the sun is up. Listen, Caleb, Reuben, Abner, all of you. I have a plan to propose.
What sort of a plan?
A plan to end weariness and uncertainty and fear.
Daniel, what's in your mind?
We'll form an association. An association of all the woodchoppers in Berdichev.
Excuse me, Daniel, but what for?
Don't you see? Instead of working alone, each man for himself, we'll all work together for our common good.
I can see it might be a good idea for Reuben, maybe for Abner. But you, Daniel, you're young and strong. Why should you join such an organization? Or I? Why should I?
Why? Because you have a horse, Caleb.
Exactly. Therefore, why should I join? You see, you can't answer me.
It's not that, Caleb.
No, Daniel.
I hope that you would see the answer yourself.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Whoever joins you or I, Caleb, is helping others. Isn't that the answer?
Daniel, I know my responsibilities. I give to charity as much as anyone, maybe more, but this is different. This is a practical matter.
Caleb, what's practical and what isn't?
Your plan isn't. That is not for me.
All right. Then let's be practical, as you call it. How many trips from the forest to the market do you make in a day?
Well, depends. With cutting the wood, tying it, loading it on Gabriel, let's say three, sometimes four.
Suppose you didn't have to cut it, or trim it, or tie it. Suppose that every time you returned from the market, you found another load ready. How many trips could you make then?
Many more, of course. Maybe 8 or 10.
Let that be your job then, Caleb. I'll cut the wood, together with Nathan and Joshua. Reuben can trim the branches, and Abner will tie and load.
And when the wood is sold?
Then we divide the money equally.
But some work is more important
we
than...
We share equally, Caleb. No man's need is less than another's.
I'm not saying you're right, Daniel, but count me in.
Now you're being practical. What about you, Reuben? And Abner and Nathan?
Yes,
me too.
Good. Only...
Aren't you satisfied?
Yes, Caleb, only... I wish we weren't such practical men.
And Daniel returned to his house, sat down at the table, and said the blessing.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the earth.
Thus was created the Society of Woodchoppers of Berdiche, and its creation brightened the darkness of early rising and shortened the long road to the forest.
Fine morning, Daniel.
No aching bones, Reuben?
Of course they ache, but what's that got to do with it? Daniel, I have been thinking about Caleb's horse.
So have I. It's on the agenda for tonight's meeting.
It is the sense of this meeting that the horse Gabriel shall not be considered an equal sharer in the society, but his keep shall be deducted before the profits are divided.
There shall be a period of rest in the afternoon of each day when no work shall be done.
It is agreed that a portion...
Reuben! Abner, quickly, bring some water. What is it, Reuben?
I can't breathe.
Here. Drink this.
I must finish my report.
Don't try to talk now, Reuben. I'll take you home. You'll feel better in the morning.
But Reuben was not better in the morning. He lay in his bed, resting a body weary with 30 years of labor. At the end of the first week, Caleb came to talk with Daniel.
It's Friday, Daniel. The day when we divide the money.
Well, then divide it. You don't need me.
The shares are different this week.
Why are they different?
Well, because of Reuben. That is, there's one share less.
No, Caleb. The shares are the same.
Daniel, I'm tired of your commands. You're only one. The others in the society, we have a voice, too.
I hear only yours.
Reuben didn't work this week. He shouldn't have a share. Ask the others what they think. Go on. Ask them.
I'm listening.
Daniel, don't be angry.
Say what you want to say, Abner.
Caleb is right. We're sorry about Reuben, but we have to think about ourselves.
You see, Daniel?
I see, Caleb. When you divide the money, give me none of Reuben's share.
You're being childish.
No. I'm thinking of myself as you are. I'm thinking of the taste of the bread in my mouth, knowing that it's Reuben's bread, and of the light of the Sabbath candles, knowing Reuben's house is dark.
All right, Daniel.
Have you forgotten what our society is for, Caleb? To work together for our common good, don't you remember?
Daniel, we're not arguing anymore.
No, but we had to argue, didn't we?
The shares will be the same as before. Aren't you pleased?
Should I be pleased?
You're still not satisfied. What do you want?
I don't know. I want something more, but I'm not sure I know what it is.
I have been young, sang the psalmist, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Maybe what a man wants is to believe, to see the righteous and the wicked, and yet not be shaken.
Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. It's a beautiful thing to believe, Daniel.
How can you believe it, Deborah? The world isn't like that.
Berdichev isn't the world.
It's my world.
Maybe it's true, even in your world.
I'm not a child, Deborah. And if it isn't true, I want to know why. And what I must do. And how I must live, being Daniel the woodchopper.
Daniel the woodchopper is one and alone. But if you say being a man, like other men who asked questions and maybe found an answer...
But where, Deborah? Where?
I don't know. Maybe you just have to know the answer. Maybe you can find it in books.
Deborah, it's so long since I've opened a book.
Daniel went to the shelf, took down a book, and held it in his hands, feeling its unaccustomed weight. Then he opened it and turned the pages. Every day he worked beside Reuben and Abner and Caleb in the forest. And the Society of Woodchoppers of Berdichev prospered.
It is agreed by the Society that a portion of each week's profits shall be put aside toward the purchase of a second horse.
Every day, Daniel carried a book as well as his axe. During the period of rest, while the others sat talking, he read his book.
Our Daniel has become a scholar.
Does it disturb you if I read, Caleb?
Not at all. It's just that a book looks strange in your woodchopper's hands.
I don't read with my hands.
Oh, Caleb doesn't mean any harm, Daniel. But it is strange to see you sitting there with a book when you should be resting.
You don't understand, Reuben. The book in his hands makes him superior.
No, Caleb. The more I study, the more humble I feel.
All right, all right. Only by the time a man reaches your age, he has studied enough.
Enough for what? Study is not like a debt to be paid so much and then be done with it.
Well, maybe it's different for scholars.
We're not talking about scholars.
When I was a child, I went to school. Now I have a family to feed. I've studied enough.
Have you, Caleb? Tell me, do you remember the Eighth Commandment?
Of course. Thou shalt not steal.
What does it mean?
What a question. It's plain. Thou shalt not steal from thy neighbor.
Yes. But it may also mean thou shalt not steal from myself.
Daniel, will you do something for me?
If I can, Reuben.
There are still a few minutes left. Please, read to me from your book.
In the forest, among the trees felled and standing, Daniel read from his book.
Man doth not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Then he put aside the book and took up his axe. Daniel worked with haste now, as if every tree cut down was another obstacle removed from the way to truth. But always, there was another tree, and another. His axe rose and fell to the rhythm of the questions that leaped within him. And then, one day he knew, put down his axe, and asked the question aloud.
What have we accomplished together? We cut more wood, yes. We earn more money. We're less afraid of growing old.
Those are good things, Daniel.
Yes, Reuben, but not enough.
What more is there for us?
I want to read you another passage. Listen. The greatness of God is infinite. For while with one stamp, man impresses many coins and all are exactly alike, the King of Kings with one die impresses the same image on all men, and yet not one of them is like his neighbor. Thus it is that everyone ought to say, for myself the universe is created.
Not for me, Daniel. Not for Reuben the woodchopper.
For Reuben the man. For me, for Abner, for Caleb.
What do you want now, Daniel?
There is good and evil, Caleb, and I want to understand them. I want to know why I am Daniel and what I must be. I want to study the world God created for me.
Do what you like. I want to know will study and make me a better woodchopper.
It will make you a better man.
I'm not talking philosophy, Daniel. I'm a practical man.
You're a stubborn man, Caleb. You've forgotten that we created our society for the impractical purpose of helping each other, and it gave you more bread.
You're trying to confuse us. You know that was different.
No, it's the same. The practical is not what you think. The practical is love thy neighbor as thyself. And Caleb, study is practical.
We're not scholars, Daniel. You ask too much of us.
I ask nothing. Study is an obligation from which you cannot free yourself.
I owe nothing to anyone.
Caleb, listen. There once was a man, an old man, who planted the seed of a carob tree. And he was asked, who are you to plant a tree? Surely you will not live to see the fruit. He thought for a moment, and then he said, maybe not. But did I find the world empty when I came?
Well, Daniel,
wait, I haven't finished. After another moment, the old man said, if I do not plant, what am I? Caleb, if you do not study, what are you?
If ever a time should come when the Torah is no longer studied, says the Zohar, the tree of life will depart from the earth and leave behind the world that is dead.
There shall be put aside by the society each week a portion of money for the purchase of books and a portion of time for study.
Thus it was that men whose work it was to cut down trees in the forest, nevertheless in their own way, watered the roots of the tree of life. The woodchoppers of Berdichev are dead, and their descendants were lost in the hideous cloud that settled over their world. One book was saved. You may see it with your own eyes. You may feel it with your own hands. If you open the book, you will find stamped on the first page the name of the owners.
The Society of Woodchoppers of Berdichev for the study of Talmud.
And underneath, in the hand of a man not accustomed to the feel of a pen, is written,
the Torah was not given to the angels.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Philip Laun, President of the American Association for Jewish Education and Chairman of the United Jewish Appeal in Greater Boston. Mr. Laun.
All through the ages, Jews have given great zeal and religious devotion to the pursuit of knowledge. Education was considered a lifelong process. Houses of study for adults existed in every Jewish community. Many Jews would attend the academies each day, either in the morning before work or in the evening after their daily toil. For many centuries in Eastern Europe, Jews used to congregate daily for an hour or two in the houses of study. Scholarship was admired and revered. Judaism has always insisted on the education of all its adherents, because, as our sages have put it, ignorant men cannot be God-fearing men. The marvelous dramatization we've just heard is an excellent illustration of our people's quest for Torah. It validates the truism of the biblical adage that man does not live by bread alone. We realize more and more that if our greatness is to consist merely of material matters and not of the things of the spirit and the intellect, We cannot remain a great community. The American Association for Jewish Education, which is the national coordinating agency for Jewish education, has annually sponsored Jewish Education Month. The association urges our people to give undivided attention to the need for the study of Judaism by all age groups in the community, children, youth, and adults. Just as long as Jewish schools will continue to teach the basic tenets of Judaism, there is hope to develop a spiritually healthy Jewish community in America. It is, therefore, our task to staff our schools with competent teachers, because the heart of all education is the teacher. There is, unfortunately, a critical shortage of qualified personnel. Hence, the American Association for Jewish Education is calling a special conference in Washington on November the 1st to explore ways and means of coping with the problem.
Thank you, Mr. Lowne. Eternal Light Drama today, A Little More Than the Angels, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were Mandel Kramer, Mary Patton, Roger DeCoven, Louis Sorin, and Sam Gray. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. The weekly program is directed by Daniel Sutter and presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.